When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that wants you to know if while you're listening, you're not really feeling it, just stick your headphones in harder and deeper.
Yep. Yep. Just the old force it in approach.
The old 1-2.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
We're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today we are going to talk about
fashion.
Fuck. Fashion.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Spell coming?
Spell long? No. Okay. But I feel like
I hate it so much.
This is the perfect topic for us because it is exactly the like inverse of what we talk about. There is the stereotype about gay fashion that every gay man is into fashion and blah blah blah, and you and I are both like, ugh. Like, even when I was like, we should do fashion, you were just kind of like, eh. Like you are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Okay, but first,
a correction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I fuck up or did you fuck
no,
up?
No, I did. I fucked
Yay.
Up. I saw that Tony Perkins was part of the Family Research Council. He is not. He's part of Focus on the Family. Nope, other way around. I said he was part of Focus on the Family. He's not. He is part of the Family Research Council.
I don't know what the Family Research Council is.
Equally.
Something bad?
Okay. Yeah, their bullshit is just as bullshit.
Okay. Okay, great. That's helpful. But it's still part of Trump's Ministry of...
Yes. He
Defense
is
of
on,
the Dark Arts or something?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes, he's on the, like, why Trump has a religion panel is beyond me.
Yeah. The answer, like everything, is because God hates all of us.
The feeling is mutual these days. Okay.
News?
Is it news time?
Yeah.
Okay. News time. First of all, super random, odd, weird. A trans woman in Russia has won a discrimination lawsuit against her employer.
What? What?
Yeah. Yeah. So even just that headline is interesting enough. Yeah. But then like dig into a little bit and Anastasia Vasilyeva. Don't know. Anastasia, she was awarded nearly $28,000 in damages and lost wages after she was terminated from the Yanoshka printing press in 2017. She says she was dismissed from the position after she presented her employers with a corrected passport listing her gender as female. That process took her about a year to accomplish, but apparently you can do it even in Russia.
That's surprising.
Right?
It's making me feel, I mean, we should all feel bad about how difficult it is to do anywhere, but like in the US it's making me feel bad if in Russia it takes about a year for someone. And like,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's about that for the U.S., if not.
Or longer.
More, yeah.
Because in Russia, like, I think a lot of things just take as fast as, like, as long as it takes to find the right person to pay off.
Oh, gotcha.
Maybe it works that way in the States, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you, like, interesting. Okay, well, good. I mean, not good work for Russia, but like, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that about Russia.
So it gets even more complicated here, which I think is really interesting. So in 2000... a law was passed in Russia that named 450 occupations that women are forbidden to have.
What?
One of which is working at a printing press, which is Anastasia's employer.
Okay. Hold on. Trans women are important, but hold. Let's step back to...
Yep. Yep.
What are some of the types of jobs that women can't work at?
Well, there is...
Mathematician...
No. That mathematician is fine. That's totally
okay,
fine.
Okay. So they're not basing it on stereotypes.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's not. It's not like don't let her do math or don't let her drive or anything. It's,
no.
It's reportedly intended to bar women from arduous or strenuous professions to protect their reproductive health.
Oh, they're baby maker.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's what's important for Russia's continuing.
So no lifting heavy items. Yeah. No, like.
No, like.
Stay in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, like anything that involves heavy hip thrusting.
Right. Yeah.
Probably, you know, you don't want those bones.
That's right.
You don't. You need to protect those.
So it's interesting because then as soon as she showed her employers her updated documentation, they immediately referred to the list of prohibited professions and fired her.
That's weirdly sweet. Like, it's like validating that you are a woman. I confirm that you are a woman and that horrible backwards loss. It's just like the worst kind of validation.
Yep. The purpose of the law was to protect her reproductive rights. Like, it's supposed to be to protect women's ability to have babies, which she ain't going to have babies.
Yeah.
Like,
well, she isn't going to physically carry them in a womb of her own body.
Right. Right.
However you say that. I mean, but like.
And if she was doing this job, she's worked at this place for 12 years using male identification.
Wow.
So she can do it. Right? Like, it's not like she's not already doing the job.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I feel like trans issues are important in their own right, and they're not there for anyone else, but, like, they also, just by existing, like, the fight for trans rights also then highlights other women's issues that don't make any sense, like, what if I am a cis female that doesn't want to have kids, or I can't have kids because I medically can't? Now, do I, like, your law about protecting my ability to have kids doesn't matter to me because I don't want to or can't? Like, what? You know, it just points out some of the flaws that in a really interesting way.
Yep, absolutely. So Coming Out, which is an LGBTQ organization based in St. Petersburg, confirms that the court decision was a landmark in the country. Quote, "This is the first case in Russia that we know of in which a transgender person defended her rights with regards to discrimination in employment. And we hope that this victory will be empowering for many other trans people to follow in her steps."
Now I'm worried about the basis for the decision. Is it trans women deserve rights, or is it they believe incorrectly that she is a man and she can work? Like, you know, is it it's this weird in the way, in this very complicated way of, like, why did she win and that's important?
Well, I don't know.
Damn it, Mike.
I know.
It's almost like I asked you who wrote this study.
Yep.
This is my version of that.
Yep.
News segments are going to get longer and longer as I just try to get you to answer weird, obscure questions that I...
Well, so the case has... So Polina Andreanova, the director of Coming Out, adds that the case has implications for both women's rights and LGBTQ equality in Russia. Quote, "Why is the government telling women what they can and cannot do, perpetuating harmful stereotypes about women's role in society as being that of a mother and caretaker? Anastasia's example demonstrates that a woman can choose not to bear children and that the state should not be dictating to her where she can or cannot work."
And clearly she can work there. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
Yep. But that language leads me to believe that it was about women should be able to do that job.
Yeah. In a good, so a good decision in both female and trans issues. Wow. Like, never. I mean, we talk about stereotypes on every episode, but, like, right off the bat, you're like coming at, like, the gayish content, the stereotype, stuff, just right up front.
Out my face hole?
Yeah.
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 You know.
All that stereotype stuff.
Stereotypes. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
It's a type of stereo.
Yep. Next?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we were talking about the San Antonio airport forbidding Chick-fil-A to be at their airport.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you hear this already?
Yeah, I think I know what you're going to say.
So,
I don't know much about it, so...
Okay. So, San Jose...
patron saint of tequila.
Yes, absolutely. So they have a Chick-fil-A controversy at their airport now because the Mineta San Jose International Airport, via the city council, approved a new contract with HMS Host Concessionaire, which meant that they had the right to put whatever places they wanted to in the airport, and Chick-fil-A is one of their clients. Mm-hmm. So their clients included Shake Shack, Great American Bagel, Trader Vic's, a brew pub, and unfortunately, Chick-fil-A. So this sort of slipped under everybody's radar. Like, San Jose is not the type of place that would be down with Chick-fil-A at their airport, right? But the contracts happened and this slipped under their radar. They didn't realize that they were opening that door. So they voted to protest the opening of a Chick-fil-A at their local airport. They voted to surround the restaurant with pride flags, both rainbow and trans pride flags. The idea came from former county supervisor Ken Yeager, who's openly gay. He believed the flags could be used as a counter signal to the discrimination supported by Chick-fil-A. This way, arriving passengers will know that the city of San Jose welcomes all. Councilman Raul Perales liked this idea, adding that he'd like to see the location hire LGBTI employees so that everyone knows it's, quote, the gayest Chick-fil-A in the country.
Okay, that's the quote that I heard. I heard gayest Chick-fil-A in the country, and I thought of it as like the, I don't know, like what's like the tallest pancake in the world. You're just like, how tall can it really be? Right. You know, it's just, I had lots of mixed feelings.
There's a low bar for Chick-fil-A.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Bring one can of glitter with you and it's automatically the gayest Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. You play one Britney Spears song and suddenly, but that's really, I didn't know all the background. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what do you think about this? Like, this is a very different approach of before. It's been like, let's protest and they suck.
Yeah.
Like, so I get, now I understand the logic behind, well, it's going to exist, so let's gay it up while it's there. What do you think about that?
I think that's okay. That's lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
Which isn't good.
No.
Right? It would be better to just not have them there, but they fucked up and it happened, and so I have to let them off the hook for that.
Yeah.
The Chick-fil-A thing really fires me up, and I don't know why I'm so bothered by it. I mean, I know why I'm so bothered by it, but I feel like there are so many other things that I should be more bothered by.
No, I get you. It's like in this world where literally everything is, or not literally, but like so many things are homophobic and fucked up. Why does this get you 10 times more fired up than all the other fucked up shit that happens?
Yep.
Which,
and I think part of the answer is, if I tell you spending money on that chicken sandwich, that money is directly going to hurt gay people.
Mm-hmm.
That money is being spent on organizations that are going out and fighting against the rights of LGBT people. Now you are culpable. You, the person that I'm talking to, that is your fucking money. Mm-hmm. You gave money to that train of horse shit.
Yeah.
And so it's on you. And not only is it on you, it's for a sandwich. It's for a fucking sandwich. No sandwich is that good, because the like sort of passive defense is like, oh, but they have really good chicken. Yeah. Fuck that. Doesn't matter. Find other chicken. Like, I don't understand why that's considered a, like, why is that okay? Why is that an acceptable response?
Yeah.
And then, so I've also heard recently, there's the guy on Facebook, Mark, who listens.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should say his name or not. We can ask him. Anyway. I got in a big fight on his Facebook feed with one of his friends, who he ended up having to block this friend and unfriend him.
But not you. So you won?
Yeah. Is that so okay. I won. But it was on. I had home court advantage there.
Yeah,
I think,
that's true. Yep.
the other thing was like, so you know where every single dollar that you spend goes, and you're certain that it's going to good people? No. And you're moving the goalposts. Mm. It doesn't matter that I know where all of my money is. I would love to know, but I don't. I do know that your money, if you spend it here on this fucking sandwich, is hurting gay people. I do not have to have a universal knowledge of how my money is being spent. That is not how this works. This specific example is bad, regardless of the status of the other things that are out there.
One, it's fun that just your favorite podcaster may show up on your feed and argue with your friends. I really enjoy that. Also, like, I have that same, well, oh, don't yell at me. I mean, do what you want, but I guess. But, like, I have that same qualm of, like, okay, well, technically, what, you know, what percentage am I contributing if I don't go to Chick-fil-A? I don't like when people go to Chick-fil-A. So I'm on your side on that. But, like, I don't know how all of my money is spent, and I feel like I should know more. And if someone wanted to invent a like Mint style, you know, mint.com, where you can like plug in all of your bank account, and like,
yeah,
I would love that for like LGBT people, where you just plug in all your bank account info and it says like 20% of your budget went towards things that are homophobic.
Sure.
Here's suggestions on how to adjust your behavior.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Stop paying straight bros to fuck you and call you a faggot and spit on you. Who knows what it's going to come up with?
Whom knows?
Whom knows? but I think the not going to Chick-fil-A is more symbolic than monetary, because this is the, like, every vote matters, sure, but in the dollar amount that you're contributing when you go there, it's not a huge dollar amount you're contributing. So I think it's really a symbolic idea of going to a place that has been so much in the news and so public about being anti-LGBT, and you still go there
to spend purely discretionary funds. You know,
like, they're like, that's where their discretion. Oh, they're like the nonprofit. They donate to nonprofits that.
No, I just mean your $5 to buy a shitty sandwich. Gotcha. You don't have to spend that $5. Oh, sure. This is not like your doctor.
Sure.
Or like.
Yes, I have one doctor in my area, so I have to go to this anti-gay doctor because there's nothing else. Yeah, yeah.
Right. You have the option to spend or not spend this money on that fucking stupid ass sandwich. Yes.
I think that I'm starting, like, even in just in this conversation, feeling like I'm coming around to this pro-LGBT Chick-fil-A, because the symbolism of having someone working on the inside of this is a Chick-fil-A but has pride flags everywhere and we're hiring gay people and we're all that stuff, like the what that represents and the meaning that represents to the company that they're part of, like, I really like that. So it makes sense. What you're bringing to it is, you know, really about the financials and the numbers and the data and, like, the logic of it, which is really important for people to realize, like, that part of it. I feel like I'm bringing, I don't know, you know, and the marketing or the public view or the appearance of what you're doing is what I'm, the other side that I'm bringing to it.
So back to your question, I think, of how do I feel about San Jose?
Did I ask a question? Okay.
Yeah, how do I feel about San Jose doing this? I'm worried that people get off the airplane and they're walking by and they're like, I'm a little peckish. I'm going to stop and get me some food. Look at that super gay ass Chick-fil-A. I'm going to eat at that one. That money is still going through the franchise to the corporation, and that money is still going to organizations that are fighting LGBT people. And the person that just bought that gay ass looking sandwich at the San Jose airport was sort of, that's a false sense of legitimacy.
Or if they, but at the same time, what if having all those flags and getting more people to go there shows corporate that, did you know having fucking pride flags everywhere will get a lot of people to buy your sandwiches? Money, unfortunately, speaks louder than most things. Like, maybe that could lead to saying, based on the numbers, you should be more gay inclusive.
My guess is that it won't matter. They already are closed on Sundays because they're a Christian organization.
The fact that hasn't changed says, like, they are pretty staunch in their. I agree.
Like, being open instead of not open is more money.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You will get more money being open than being closed.
Yes.
And they're closed on Sundays because Jesus.
Except if you're like me and you try to pretend like on the internet, like, you're, like, really good, then being closed most days but open every now and then, then people, like, really, when you're open for business, people just go to town. Personal experience.
Do you have a drive-thru?
Yes. It's not what you think.
Okay. Is that enough about Chick-fil-A?
I think so. I think so.
Sorry, I just get so worked up
No. That's good. I think that's good to be worked up about things and good to talk about those things.
So, last news item.
Okay.
It's sort of a kind of a thing. But, so this dude, Eugene Ofosu, he's a psychologist, and he has a method. He did a study and found that anti-gay bias has been decreasing over time. Like, he is, like, trying to objectively measure the amount of anti-gay bias that is in the country.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're going to say. I flagged this as something we should talk about, and then the flag button in my internet, my internet wasn't working, and it didn't work to save this article, so I was like, and then it just went, you know, it's like, if the internet doesn't work for something, then it's just like, oh, well, we'll never talk about this then.
It took me a while to realize that you meant like an internet, like a email flag.
Yeah,
I was
thinking
like a pride flag.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like you tried to put.
No, my rainbow flag hasn't been
working.
It's really just been gray tones, which is odd. Anyway, okay, keep going.
Yeah, but actually the decline roughly doubled after Obergefell.
Hmm.
So the 2015 Obergefell ruling saying that gay marriage was the law of the land actually significantly helped the
people's
decline of anti-gay.
After Obergefell, people liked gay stuff better, gay rights better.
Yeah, the study doesn't say that. The study says that anti-gayness went down.
Sure, sure. I'm trying to say it in words that...
I just don't know that the corollary is true. It's not that people liked it more. It's just that the people that hated it hated it less.
Sure. Yay.
Which is just... It's really interesting.
And they... So, okay, I read a lot about this before being not able to flag this in my... And then just forgetting about it. But it was also like they looked at statewide legislation and used like once states were okay with or approved same-sex marriage, like people's viewpoints and how those change versus... And it's like if it happened statewide before Obergefell, that was actually really helpful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Versus if, you know, you did not yet have same-sex marriage in your state and then Obergefell went through, some people like that actually made people angrier or more anti-LGBT because, and I mean, or my thought on why that is because like you just feel like the country's doing something that like the Supreme Court is making a ruling that you disagree with and you're like, oh, they're stupid. But if you have like, you know, more local, more personal things that say it's okay, then you're like, okay, I'm getting on board. And then, okay, makes sense. The logical leap is that my state did it, now the country will. So I guess everyone's on board and I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the study noted that the exceptions to the trend were states that had resisted equal marriage and then were forced to adopt it after mm-hmm. the Supreme Court ruled that they had to. And so those states experienced a backlash, quote unquote backlash, mm-hmm. apparently reflecting the sense of symbolic threat to their conservative values.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's and, just like you said.
But, yeah. You said it the smart way.
Also, hitting the table talking about chicken, I think I broke my finger.
Did you?
It hurts real bad.
At 90 degrees? No, I'm kidding.
It bends. I'm good.
What does it
but I was really? Poking the table real hard while I was talking.
I wonder if they could hear that. Interesting. This is me slapping my dick on the table. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
It's very hefty.
Very meaty. And that's the news.
That's the news. News. Nope. So something. Oh shit! I should have done before the news.
What?
Wait. You're done with the news, so I can do things now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your podcast too.
Is it? Thank you for acknowledging that. Behind the scenes, Mike's a real bitch about it. Mm-hmm. He's like, "This is mine." The Mike Johnson presents the Mike Johnson Experience of Gayish. That's what he's trying to get me to change the name to. We have new Patreon members.
Great. Give us your money. Thank you for giving us your money.
Well, I mean, give us more money, sure, if we want to keep milking that cow. Ew, sorry.
You didn't say cat.
I mean, at least I didn't say sperm.
Hey, cow.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I don't know. Okay.
Does your milkshake bring all the boys to the yard?
My yard is only so big, you know, there's a significant number it brings to the yard, but we have to really phase in turns. There's a waiting list. There's a fast pass. You know, we really just have to work the system here.
You have one of those like take a ticket and it says now serving 12.
Yep. And sometimes it serves 12, 13 and 14, you know, who knows?
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, we really had to, Khalees had the like idealistic view of it, and I had to really bring the reason and practicality to my yard and the boys therein. Anyway, thank you. Speaking of that, thanks to our Patreon members.
Hello, Patreon.
Tyler. Well, I got to his last name, and Tyler. Tyler M. Thank you to Alex Barron. I just wanted to rhyme so bad. Alex Barron, and you'll have to help me with this, WTF Johnson.
WTF Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you have no... You're fine with that? There's no questions you have with that? Just one of your family members, probably.
What the fuck?
Thank you. Okay. Oh, now I get what those letters mean.
Am I related to that person? I might be related to that person. Is there any way to get more information?
Oh, yes. I know their actual name, but I don't want to say their real name because they sign.
Does it start with an M and they're one of my brothers?
No. Okay, it's not one of your brothers.
Great.
It's a different person.
Great.
But I want to say when people sign up, I want to say the name that they the name that they write in, because they might not want us to say their. We don't know. It's 100 and fucking whatever episodes in, and we don't know how to handle people's names. Help us out. If you don't want us to say your names, just tell us that. I don't know.
Or just, they're used to it by now.
I guess so.
Like,
I hope
Why start
I hope
now?
You know, if you're interacting with us, we may say stuff about you. Anyway, thank you. It's a great way. It's a great segment to say thank you. Thank you for supporting us. And if you haven't checked out our Patreon, they're sweet bonuses by
sweet bonuses
that you too can wrap your lips around if you just join. Do you want to talk about fashion? I mean, you don't want it. Shall we now talk about fashion? I guess.
All right, fine. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard, and I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good, but also I enjoyed the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation.
Okay. What I wanted to start with.
Okay.
Is just this kind of like. What, like, you have a very negative, like, very just like, you're like, ugh, about this topic. Like, mm-hmm. Talk to me about like fashion in general in your life and why you're not excited about this.
I'm wearing gym shorts and okay. a t-shirt that says, that's what I do. I drink and I know things, with the Lannister lion on it. Wine stains from last night where I poured wine on myself watching Game of Thrones. And I just...
I'm glad it's you, not me this time. Usually I'm the wine spiller on myselfer, so...
And you're wearing a marathon t-shirt for a race you did not run in.
I signed up for it, though, which I think deserves recognition. There's a lot of LGBT rights we need to fight for. I'm fighting for the rights of those who sign up for and do not attend marathons. Yep. We paid money to something.
Yeah.
You're welcome, cancer. Or whatever I signed. Yes. Oh, I was going to actually do this of what are you wearing right now?
Yeah.
Do you know where your clothes are from?
No.
Okay. Well, where did you get that shirt? Like,
on the internet.
Okay, you just like Amazon.
Because one day I googled like Game of Thrones t-shirts, yep. And this one came up.
My t-shirt's from a marathon I didn't run because I'm out of clothes, so I'm getting into the like, the like the bottom of the barrel of like this vaguely fits me and it's a clothing item that
like
I could...
you've already played all of your varsity players, you've played your junior varsity players, you're like these are your C stringers.
Oh, I was thinking we went into the bench. No, that's not the right term. I meant we went into the stadium and was like, who here has once played football? Anybody? That's where we're at. And then I'm wearing shorts that I also bought off the internet because I was like, what are comfortable shorts?
Yeah.
They're green, so that's like a little spice of something. Yeah. Some kind of color.
Mint?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I don't think these are... these are like forest green.
Oh, they are. They're foresty.
You're wearing two new items of... pseudo fashionable, moderately fashionable clothing, meaning your writer's hat and your glasses, your horn rim glasses.
Yeah, I just got new glasses. I did not pick them out.
Who did?
The gay guy that is at my optical
you're
shop.
And
I was just like, dude, tell me what to get, and he's like, these or these. I was like, okay.
So, question:
yeah.
When you realized there's a gay dude that might help you out with your glasses, were you a little bit like, oh, thank God, just pick these for me?
Yes. And it's also because I love my optical shop, by the way. I think it's fucking phenomenal. I don't know if we should plug them or
sure.
not. The Queen Anne Eye Clinic here in Seattle up on top of the hill is
amazing. I need to get a new,
amazing.
Like, eyeball place.
They're amazing.
Okay.
And so... when I was there just to get contacts before my trip to Ireland, this queen had lots of opinions and they were all about people's appearance.
Yeah.
Like those make your face look blocky or that, sure. like these make you look brighter. Like, yeah. So I knew that this dude was going to give frank forward advice mm-hmm. about my selection.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he did.
Has that always been the case for you in fashion? Like, have you ever cared? Have you always been not cared or not good at it? I don't want to say, like, I feel like maybe for both of us, but more you, because I feel like you try a little bit harder sometimes. Like, like, it's not like you can't look good or wear nice things. Like, when you want to put on, like, nice jeans and a button down and, like, you can, like, dress nicely. So, like,
yeah.
But, I don't know. Has it always been that you didn't really care?
Well, so it's interesting because like fashion, the word fashion really can mean a bunch of different things, right? Like there's just what is your own personal sense of style and what do you buy and how do you put that together? That's fashion. There's also like high fashion, right? Like haute couture or however they fucking say that.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Anyway.
I don't think so.
And all the big houses and they're rocking the runway and like, sure, you know, all this shit. Yeah. Like that, there's that other aspect to fashion. So like, you're right. I mean, when I decide that I want to care, I'm pretty okay at it.
Yeah. Just this past weekend, I went out and again, because like we're really fishing from the bottom of the barrel to try to get something that I could wear because I have not done laundry in a while. I put on a button down and my jeans, my like regular blue jeans, mm-hmm, ripped in the crotch.
Yeah.
Like that sounds sexy, but it's not. It's just, I think my thighs rub together in a way that violently breaks them or like, yeah. So these jeans that I've had for like a month or something now have a rip, like they were my only pair of jeans and they ripped. So now I have these like white-ish like jeans.
Mm.
So I had this like button down. I'm being forced into wear things that I think are cuter than what I usually look like. And so it's like wearing a button down and these like white jeans and I was getting lots of attention. People really loved them. One, I think the jeans were like tight and so like with my ass that works. And okay. I was told I should buy every color of those jeans that are made available. But it was so funny for me this weekend to kind of be forced to put on nice things and then getting attention for those nice things.
So why do you think your nice things are so deep in your closet?
Honestly, it's embarrassing to talk about. I feel embarrassed talking about this, but like a big reason is because I sweat so much.
Yeah.
So the more uncomfortable I feel, the more I sweat, and like button down shirts are not comfortable to me. Like they're tight. They're too. And they're like, I don't know. I just don't feel good in them. They're like long sleeve, anything that's not short sleeve. I don't like. So part of it
that's the opposite of short.
You know, I could have had a 3/4 sleeve. I don't think I have any of those. But yeah, like part of it is that. Part of it is just I like being comfortable. Part of it is I have a boyfriend. Fuck you. I don't need. I feel like part of it is to impress people and be like, hey, dude, sleep with me. But I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I just don't. Part of it is being depressed. Sometimes you don't take care of yourself in a lot of ways, including like this is the part of, you know, I can a lot of me. Is like, oh, I'm rebelling against the idea that you have to look a certain way and fuck the fashion show. I'm going to wear whatever I want. But like the flip side, the other side is like spending time in yourself and looking and making an effort to make yourself look good makes you feel better about yourself and makes you happier. So yep. Like that's what I always discount it and ignore when I'm depressed. And I find these justifications. So another part of it is just, I'm going to feel comfortable and justify that when I'm depressed.
Yep. Yep. It's hard. It's hard to care. It's hard to care about anything, but especially yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
do like, anything that would improve yourself.
Yeah. Even like some of the basics, like showering, like, you know, getting a haircut, you know, doing your hair and not just putting on a hat.
Eating food.
Well, I'm the opposite. Eating the right food. How about that?
Yeah. Okay.
Because M&Ms will be gonzos when they'll have a weird long blue nose. Anyway, Gonzo, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. You. Well, do you want to talk about? I can go into like some information or
sure.
What do you want?
What do you want?
I don't know. I have something kind of like unrelated to all of this. Why don't you say some stuff? Let's do that.
Okay. I'll start with this one then.
Okay.
I should have realized how much of a queer I was when Marky Mark was in those Calvin Klein ads and I was like, do things to me, please.
Oh boy, those ads. I remember them to this day.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, and then Calvin Klein more recently with Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm. But more recently, didn't they do Shawn Mendes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask, I'll just ask you. Is
I'm the only one here, so that's really ideal. It's a good thing you want to ask me this.
So tell me, Todd, how do you feel about, no, so Calvin Klein is a straight man. it's pretty rare to be a straight man in fashion. And Mark Wahlberg is straight. Justin Bieber is straight. Nick Jonas is probably straight.
Just because you have dreams doesn't doesn't make him gay.
Is this gay baiting? Let's talk about gay baiting.
Gay baiting and queer baiting, yes. Big topics right now. I think, you know, Shawn Mendes, but more recently, or not more, around the same time, something else that I've just has come up in the gay world, the gay underworlds that I belong to. Billie Eilish, who? Great. In certain gay circles, I guess I'll say then. Released this album, and one of the songs is called Wish You Were Gay. And a lot of, you know, like, basically anything that has gay in the title now, especially if you're not a gay person, the question comes up is, are you just doing this to try to, and especially when it's in this stage where even though it's accepted, you'll still make news stories and people still disagree with somehow being gay, like, so you can get publicity by doing gay things or attracting gay people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is a really interesting, huge topic that I've been thinking a lot about myself. So with that, what was your question? Is this gay baiting?
Is it for all of these straight dudes to be making smoking hot photos of dudes in their underwear to sell underwear? Is that gay baiting? That I don't know. I don't think so.
Because
straight guys buy underwear too.
Yeah, and like an underwear commercial. We never know at these. I mean, we're probably.
Or maybe it's ladies buying their underwear for their men.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. Like, of women sometimes doing the shopping.
But then I don't think that Nick Jonas is necessarily their type.
Oh, yeah. He's everyone's type.
Because he's fucking hot.
Because he's smoking hot. Even
okay.
Asexuals are like, you know, but I'm asexual, but Nick Jonas, have you seen him? Well, I mean, part of what, like, the earlier question that I'm starting to ask myself is, do I care if it's gay baiting? Like, that's something I'm like,
okay,
what, let's say, let's pretend it is. Like, it's kind of cool, actually, that a tactic is, that nowadays a tactic can be, let's make something that gays will really like, you know? I mean, to some degree, I mean, we're gay baiting. To some degree, like, because our goal is creating a gay podcast that people
sure
can...
okay
so,
but we're not doing it with your abs.
What, they're too far. They're too deep inside of what I got going on to for us to do that.
Girl, same.
Well, that's, I mean, there are some,
we're not using our sex appeal. That's that, like, gay baiting to me implies or requires sex appeal.
See, I don't think it necessarily requires sex appeal, because, like, what I just mentioned, you know, before, this is like a song that talks about a gay dude. It's a, I don't know where her orientation actually, but it's a song where a woman talks about a guy that she wanted to date and has the word gay in the title. I think
she wants him to be gay.
Yes.
So that she's not into him anymore.
What was the, I think the song is like, this guy isn't into me, so I wish you were gay so that it made me feel better and had a justifiable reason of you're not into me versus just you don't like me. Like, okay. That'd be way easier for me.
So then it is about sex appeal, sort of. Like, it's an abstract, sure, sort of a thing. But
we're the same thing. Like, we've even said when we publish a episode called Butt Stuff, or you know, come listen. Come listen for hot holes. Like, what that episode did real great.
Hot holes?
Hot holes.
Did we do an episode called Hot Holes?
Everyone's going to wonder now, and they're going to look back through our history, and then they're going to find something else they want to listen to. That's marketing for you, everybody. Good work, Kyle. I think we use sex. We use words to get people interested in something from a sexual place and then want to engage with it. So, like, everyone does this, including us, to some degree. And then I think the question of gay baiting is, did someone think, I guess, like, how
we're
genuine
also, we're
is
also,
it?
We're also not straight, Kyle. Did you know that you're not straight?
Well, talk to me when Charlize
Theron?
Yeah. When she's in a movie.
What, you want to bang her?
I want to bang her from behind.
Okay, great. Great. She's not here right now, so you are gay.
You don't know that. I mean, you, the listener.
Charlize.
I also thought her name was...
Do you want to weigh in on this?
She's too skinny to weigh anything.
Oh, God. So,
to bring us back on topic,
yeah,
I feel like is what you're about to say.
Gay people have a lot of disposable income. We tend to be pretty successful and have less obligations to things like family and children. And that's changing. But for a long time, we've been a demographic that is a big old shit pot of money for people. So I think that the problem is straight people going after that pot of money by using salacious, hot, sexy photos of men.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has to be part of what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, well, like, a little bit of me wants to say, like, we could do that. Like, why don't, and part of me kind of thinks we should, like, what if we had hot dudes that were, I don't know, listening to us? How do you take photos of a podcast? But like, if we had, like,
or like, I have that super hot fraternity brother that agreed to model our t-shirt for us.
Like, yeah. So if part of it is like, everyone kind of knows if you get hot dudes to pose in something or look hot, people will be more likely to engage. And I think what I've learned in talking to Davey Wavy is, you know, he uses that to his advantage, but he also has something of value behind that. So his hotness is not all that he has to offer. Once you get there, he's providing useful, meaningful content to gay people to help improve their lives. So to me, it's about the intention behind it.
He's also gay. Like the moral ethical problem is people who are not gay using sex to reel gay people in.
I guess my point is, like, anyone, including gay people, can use gay baiting as a tactic, because, like, we are gay, but also if we put out these images of, like, here's who we are, and, like, we just made some fake two people. I've thought about this. If we, like, made up two people, like, two smoking hot people that, like, we just told everyone were Mike and Kyle, and they were just shirtless and jacked, we could just be like, hey, everybody.
And when we go to events, we have to, like, wear an earpiece. They have to wear an earpiece so that we can tell
everything.
Them what to say. Okay, hot Mike, you're going to say this now.
Exactly.
Hot Kyle, shut up.
That's exactly what hot Mike would say. Yeah, but you're right. I actually think that goes into the point that I'm saying of, like, when people are gay, your assumption is they are doing it from a genuine place. And the reason you have questions about non-gay people is because, are they being genuine about it or not?
I think in both cases, the gay guy and the straight guy both genuinely want money, right? From the gay people that have money that are going to spend money on things.
Yeah.
It's just the manipulation of a sexual minority that they are not a part of that bothers me when it comes to straight people.
But yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Like, straight people will be, especially straight people in, you know, companies or marketing people that are using this specifically as a tactic. I don't think gay people are immune to this. I think gay people can use what they know about gay people to then manipulate gay people to do a thing. So to me, it all comes back to, you know, even though straight people may be more likely to do it, it comes back to manipulate people. It comes back to intentions. Like, what is your intention behind this? Do you have a genuine care for gay people
or not?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think some of the responsibility is on the gay people. So when you put out a underwear ad with Nick Jonas or Justin Bieber, they're not doing anything specifically to gay people. I mean, unless they buy, like, I don't know what their marketing strategy, they could have, like, bought gay ad, like, ads in gay magazines. Ignoring that, just the general idea is a straight dude wearing underwear to sell underwear. So gay people have part of the responsibility in how they receive this of, like, why is Nick Jonas such a big gay icon? Joe Jonas is arguably just as hot. And why is he not a gay icon just the same?
So part of the accusations that Nick Jonas had to go through when he was being targeted as a gay baiter, he took a lot of gay roles or gay-ish roles on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
He showed some, like, trying to, like...
And there were all these press releases about, like, he was hanging out at this gay bar or that gay bar in Manhattan. Mm. And he did make a lot of appearances at gay clubs, and he is not gay.
Yeah.
At least, like... when I'm awake, he's not gay. That sort, he was cultivating a gay audience by taking on gay roles and looking like as much of an ally as possible. And that, like, yeah, I'm cool. I'll hang out at a gay bar. I don't know how I feel about that, because I also think that, like, we have straight allies that hang out at bars with us all the time, and it's wonderful, and I love having them. And that doesn't mean if they later, oh my God,
what?
Do we have any straight friends that have hung out with us at bars that are hot enough to be an underwear model? Because if they did, that, would that be gay baiting? Anyway, I'm off on a tangent. Sorry.
You're now dreaming while you're awake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what is important to me is if you have a history, like all the things you're talking about with Nick Jonas is going to gay bar, like the things he's doing are actually good things, positive things that we want. So in questioning whether it's gay, like him specifically, is he at fault for this? It's, I've seen only positive things for him and gay people. So I think that's good. I think if we can see intentional negative things they're doing, like if Chick-fil-A has this big,
I was just gonna say, if Chick-fil-A ends up having like go-go boys
exactly
at a couple of their locations, so that people come eat their fucking bigot chicken
and oh, that bigot chicken apparently tastes so sweet that you have to bite into it. Yeah, it's like if you have a either neutral or positive history with the LGBT community and you're doing gayish things, then great, we should be like, you're cool. If you have shown the opposite and then somehow are trying to target gay people, then that's, we should bring it up. But otherwise, we want people to be actively seeking, talking to, being with the gay community. And I think that's a beneficial thing.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you.
Did we get what we needed out of that segment?
I don't know. I'm right now feeling it a very just like, I have like opinions and like very philosophical, and I don't know if we're like, if it's actually interesting or helpful. I just feel like,
yeah,
I don't know. But what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. The fashion industry.
The fashionistas. The fashionario.
What's the fashionario? What's the 4-1 fashion? This, can you tell we're not, don't care about fashion? Okay.
Should we? Like, are we missing out? Like, if I wonder if I tried to make myself care, if I would then actually like really care.
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't think anyone should make themselves try to care about a thing that they're supposed to.
Because it's like with rugby. I gave zero fucks about rugby, and then I go and watch one rugby match with a hot Scottish guy, and now I'm like suddenly into rugby.
Well, right. Well, because you didn't make yourself. You just naturally were. Because look at them.
All right.
Because you have eyes and can see dudes. I think, and that's partly like the one of the big things that, in thinking about this episode, I don't always think about this, but one of the things I want people to take away is like, you can be gay and not care about fashion. A lot of gay people don't give a fuck that, or maybe they do care and they're horrible at it. Like, that's fine. And hey, straight people, we don't ask your gay friend to shop for you unless you actually think they personally have good fashion.
Yeah.
Because like,
we should have had Kelly on this episode, by the way.
Why?
Because she is the only straight person on a lesbian softball team and has a degree in fashion design.
She has a degree in fashion design?
Yeah.
Oh, good for her.
I know she works for a professional sports team.
I know. Why does she dress like she does? Because she works with lesbians. Sorry, these are harmful. These are examples of harmful stereotypes. I wish that people knew that they don't have to care about fashion. That is not a requirement to being gay. And right. If anyone tells you they'll take away your gay card for not dressing well or whatever the fuck, then they're stupid and you're better than them. What I think separately, though, you and I kind of touched on, is taking care of yourself can include fashion, and you are not trying to like give into that stereotype. Like, you can care about what you wear in your own way, and that makes you feel better and healthier and happier. So that's the part that I think, that's the piece that I wrestle with.
Yeah.
I don't wrestle with, I don't care about my clothing and stop trying to make me. I don't care. I know I'm gay. I know, like, I just don't care about it.
Yeah. Do you wrestle with wrestlers?
This gets into my dreams. our Venn diagram of dreaming is wrestling with Nick Jonas.
Yeah.
That's the overlap.
Yes. Yes.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Is one wrestling move called the penetrator?
Yep.
They just stick it in and they won?
Yep.
I won too. Okay. The fashion industry.
Fashion industry.
No, let's talk about not...
This episode is going to be 10 minutes of fashion, an hour and a half of not fashion.
Nick Jonas and what his boner might look like.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful.
I think slightly curved.
Yes.
Not a lot, but just a little, just enough.
Yeah.
To touch a place inside you that you've never been touched before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said about my priest. Okay, so...
He has foreskin?
I think he has five skin.
Great.
Okay, the fashion... Have I not started this even though trying for the past 5 minutes is because neither of us care about this?
Yeah.
That might be it. Okay.
Is Nick Jonas circumcised? Yahoo Answers.
Why does Yahoo Answers know? Who on Yahoo Answers is answering this question that knows?
This is great. Yahoo Answers. Is Nick Jonas circumcised? I can't tell by looking at his pants.
Girl, if you... if I had a nickel for every time I've been thinking that... We don't know.
Nick Jonas is circumcised, according to Ross, who provided a link as a source, which is not loading. Which
I wish.
Open and shut case, I think.
Oh,
circumcised, for sure.
Oh, I want to be loaded. Do you think it's like a Schrodinger's dick? He is both circumcised and uncircumcised until I put my mouth on it. Okay. The fashion industry. This is the topic. We care.
Okay.
You know, I started looking up information about fashion and, you know, being a gay man, I was trying to figure out how many gay people actually work in fashion versus the stereotype. And
oh, yeah.
And I didn't find that information. So if you were excited and interested, then sorry.
I had a tab open that said, are there any straight people in fashion?
Yes. Okay. So. Well, yes, I can answer that. Well,
Calvin Klein for one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I started with this New York Times article that was written in 2005.
And actually, whoever makes clothes at Old Navy, clearly straight.
Whoever their designers are, yeah. or like Tommy Bahama.
Yes.
Yeah, like straight old dude. Like yeah. He's like, white people love this shit. Okay. this New York Times article by Eric Wilson. And so in 2005, they were talking about, here are a couple of the stats that they just mentioned that, you know, no specific research or numbers, but things that can give us some guidance.
I thought I was having a stroke. Turns out it was you.
You might say, I don't know. The Council of Fashion Designers of America.
Hmm. The CFDA.
CFDA, as we all know. They are made up of people that have applied for membership in, like, you know, all the big names are members of this group. So it's like an important fashion industry group. In 2005, at least, they were 121 women, 156 men. And I don't know. That didn't help answer the...
How many of them are gay?
Yeah, I don't know. So great. That didn't necessarily
good
help
segment.
My pulp plate. But also in separately, in since 1986, the annual Perry Ellis Awards for Young Talent
ooh.
Have been given to 8 women and 29 men. 20 of them have been openly gay. So that's 2/3
yeah.
of the people, at least awarded, have been gay. 1/3 of the men have been straight. So
okay.
that alone says to me, like, I would just assume that they'd like over index towards giving it to gay men. So they're probably at least 1/3 of men, I'm going to venture a guess, are straight, if not more.
Or lying.
See, I think that's a harmful stereotype.
Okay.
So what this article actually said is, well, one, I mean, it shows that there are straight men in fashion and the assumption is that you are gay and that's actually bad because they're yeah. like... to just assume because of anything that you're gay is hurtful for gay people. And I think this is where it gets into like stereotypes that should be helpful of like, oh, the fashion industry is gay. Like that's somewhere where we'd be like totally open accepted or gay people all dress really well. Like there's some stereotypes that are good.
Asian people are good at math.
That's exactly what I was like. Yes. And it's like, why should that be bad? Like, oh, there's this really good stereotype about you or whatever group you're in. I think the harmful piece of it then comes with like you and I, where then there's this expectation that because of this quality about yourself, you should be good at this and you're not. And then
if you're an Asian kid that's not good at math, yeah, how horrible must you feel about life?
Exactly. Like the fact that I am terrible at fashion, it's just like, how could you not put together an outfit? Like, I took you shopping and really we're walking into, you know, Target. Like, I thought, yeah. So like
making, I love shopping at Target.
That Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen collection. I don't know any collections, but anyway, the point I'm trying to make is somewhere we'll find it. Oh, so in this, even a industry that seems more gay male dominated, women are still underrepresented in fashion.
Yeah.
So if you pay attention, part of the reason I got confused, because actually this is about women, like of that, the CFDA, 121 women, 156 men, so more men in that group. But if you look at, now this is today's numbers, so article recently, 85% of graduates from some of the major fashion schools are women.
Oh, wow.
14% of major brands are run by a female executive.
Is that more or less than companies in general? Because there's like only one Fortune 100 company that has a female CEO or something ridiculous like
that. Is it Yahoo? She's not really repping too great for them.
Yeah.
Because she's dumb. It's not because she's a woman. She's just a dumb person, Marissa. Anyway, I'm in digital. Anyway, when I was researching this, it was really interesting to see this. You would assume, one, that everyone's gay, so they're not, but also that you would assume because they're so progressive in the fact that it's fashion, so it's gay men, that there are still issues of the patriarchy, misogyny in this industry
that hold women back.
Women are not getting paid the same amount. Like, you just, I don't know. There's this assumption that all these social issues go together, but they don't. And gay men, just as much as straight men, need to be mindful of women in the workplace and making sure they're equally represented and equally paid. And let's see, in that 2005 article, so a while ago, but Tara Subkoff, a avant-garde fashion designer and artist, said, quote, "Gay men stick together like a band of brothers. It's more common for a man to bring up a younger assistant."
Mm.
So women do have a hard time. Like, even though a lot of the women entering the fashion workforce are women. Wait. Most of the women are women. Because a lot of them are women, even though a lot of them are women, a lot of men still get promoted and women don't have those executive level jobs. So I just think it's really interesting to see that these issues are pervasive, and no one, just because you're part of one identity, doesn't mean you get to claim superiority over other social issues.
Yeah. I learned something today.
You did?
Yeah.
What's that? That you, when you get bored, you're real good at saying yeah?
That most women in the workforce are women.
It's just a truth that we all need to be aware of. Yeah.
Fashion industry, get your shit together.
Yeah, like, good work, but also don't stop trying.
Also, all industries, get your shit together.
Yeah, everyone just nut up and get a woman in. That's not necessarily the slogan that they should use, but you know.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
We'll work on it. Okay. What do you want to say other things?
Yeah, I would like to talk to you about the case, the Supreme Court case.
Okay.
Iancu v. Brunetti.
Okay, this is probably not at all where anyone interested in fashion thought any of this is going.
Yeah.
Because we're not talking about, okay.
Do you remember French Connection UK shirts?
Yeah, FCUK.
FCUK.
Yep.
And it looks like fuck.
Yeah, but it's out of order, so it's teehee.
But your brain goes, that says fuck.
Yep.
And it doesn't. And then people like wearing their shirts like that to high school classes, and the teacher being like, you can't fucking wear that. And the kid being like, but it doesn't say fuck. It says, eh. And then like they make Susie change her clothes, and then she goes home crying. And then her mom and dad come in, and they're like on her side, even though maybe she shouldn't be, because she was being a bitch and trying to make a scene wearing that shirt to class. And okay, so
Susie, this is for you.
So this case was just decided today. and is about a fashion brand.
So topical, so relevant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Called FUCT.
Okay.
FUCT. Got to be pronounced okay. fucked, right? That is the brand.
F-cut. Okay.
No, FUCT. It looks like fucked. Like the letters
oh,
are.
Oh, sorry. I switched them in my head even. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. FUCT.
FUCT.
Got it.
So it's fucked.
It's fucked.
Yeah. And then the best part was all of our Supreme Court justices had to hear this case and talk about this case and not say the word fucked because that's what's on the shirts. That's
lol.
Like, that's what's on the brand. So
this is giving me flashbacks to when Britney Spears came up with the song,
If You Seek Amy,
and all the news stations were like, she released a song called If You Seek Amy. It was so funny yep. listening to them talk about it because they couldn't.
Anyway. Yep. Yep. So Chief Justice John Roberts.
How does Ruth Bader Ginsburg feel about fucked?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Chief Justice John Roberts described it as the, quote, vulgar word at the heart of the case.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Sam Alito called it the word your client wants to use. Justice Stephen Breyer called it the word at issue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a federal law that says that officials should not register trademarks that are scandalous or immoral. The trademark office denied the request for fucked to get a trademark.
Mm.
Eric Brunetti, who is the artist behind the brand, says that that law actually should be struck down as unconstitutional because it's a restriction on speech.
Mm. Well, also, I can see that for sure. And also, like, the interpretation of what is immoral. Like, mm-hmm. gay people have been considered immoral for a while. So, like, what? Who decides what's immoral? So,
yep.
That seems, it seems like a challenging law to enforce or enforce fairly.
Yep. Yep. Malcolm Stewart, who is the lawyer that argued for the Trump administration, said that the law is not a restriction on speech, but rather the government declining to promote certain speech. Because a trademark, denying a trademark is not saying you can't say that. Mm-hmm. It's saying you just can't have government protection for a trademark because
anyone can say FUCT and you don't have get protection on the royalties from that
right.
shit.
Right. So
interesting, the Trump organization arguing against what
the right
was considered
trademark.
No, the well what was considered the right to free speech. Like it's just interesting the many sides and faces.
Yep. So The case wasn't decided today. The case was argued today.
Mm,
So we have that to look forward to.
Mm.
The Trump lawyer also went to great lengths to not say the name of the brand, calling it, quote, the equivalent of the profane past participle form of a well-known word of profanity and
oh.
perhaps the paradigmatic word of profanity in our language.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
The artist, the word formerly known as fuck.
How do we say this without saying it? That's hilarious. I didn't understand the second half of that, which is fine, but...
Perhaps the paradigmatic word...
Paradigmatic, that's where I got.
...of profanity in our
oh,
language.
Oh, the paradigm of profanity.
It's the most profane.
Yes. Okay, got it.
Which, cunt is the most profane. I don't know why...
true. That's the worst word.
You know the seven words you can't say on the radio?
No.
Cocksucker, motherfucker, fuck shit, cunt, cock, and pussy.
Say it to me slower and backwards.
Pussy.
Mm.
Cock.
Oh.
Cunt.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Fuck.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Huh. Why do you...
Cocksucker.
Why do they need to have fuck and motherfucker? You think...
And why not fatherfucker? Why don't we say fatherfucker?
Why don't we say fatherfucker? That's sexist.
Yeah.
And homophobic.
I'm going to start yelling that, like stub my toe,
fatherfucker.
daddy. Okay.
Daddy fucker. No, that's a different. That's just a twink. Okay. What?
So it's interesting too because the justices 2 years ago by unanimous decision They ruled in favor of an Asian American rock band that named themselves The Slants. And the trademark office said, no, we can't do that because it's racist against Asian people. The Supreme Court actually sided with the band and said, you guys can call yourselves The Slants. That's fine.
Yeah. That seems pretty obvious. Or, yeah. That's just funny. I mean.
Yeah. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg noted that the Trademark Office has refused to register some trademarks, both by saying they are scandalous and, ironically, too confusingly similar to something that is already registered. For example, the office refused to register F-U-K exclamation point T for being scandalous and immoral, but also said it couldn't be registered because it was too similar to P-H-U-K-I-T, which is a trademark.
So it's too similar to something. Well, shouldn't that similar thing be immoral and scandalous or whatever?
Exactly. Huh. Exactly. So they like this one example, it got both. It's too close to something that already exists, and it's vulgar. And,
man, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that's what I was hoping from her. Bringing the truth.
Yeah.
This is why I own 7 mugs about her.
That's all, I guess. What?
I don't know. I have this interesting dilemma going back and forth between, like, the fact that we have, when we create offensive words or people or immoral things, then that just puts this weird societal pressure or like just creates these arbitrary rules.
Yeah.
That then leads to things like, oh, you can't wear this, you can't be gay, like, you know, I just feel like I don't that idea, but like at the same time, I don't know that you should walk around saying fuck to kids, you know, like what's the
why not. I'm a hardcore liberal on the ridiculous side of it when it comes to free speech issues. I think that words are just words.
Yeah, and, but I mean, but
and
they're
that
not.
They carry no further power than that.
They do, though. Objectively, they do. They do carry further power because like our society had the word fuck. Objectively, if you study people's reaction to the word fuck.
Sure.
People have different reactions. So you're right that words are words, but they also like. They have a. Emotional response that is measurable.
Okay. So?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just disagreeing with your point that the words are just words. They're not.
But then there's like, Yebu Tvaya Mats, right?
No,
you did not just have an emotional reaction to that because those words are just words. Yeah. It's the meaning that you ascribe to them. And by the way, I just said in Russian, I am right now fucking your mom. That's the like current that's
so you're lying now.
you
no my
know.
Point
you
is like
know.
You can we have to be real about like I think you're of course logically all words represent a meaning and blah blah blah, but like realistically we know that words are categorized as bad words, and like to pretend like the word fuck means nothing more than having sex with is like silly. Like there's something bigger and societal there.
Okay. I also mean the one thing that I can get behind is you can't yell fire in a crowded room.
Yeah.
Because that is going to immediately incite a survival instinct in people who then are going to trample each other to mm-hmm. death on their way out fleeing from a fire that doesn't actually exist. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
If I say fuck you to a 6-year-old, it might upset them. It might upset their parents. But have I actually caused any like damage that should be legally protected, that should be legal recourse?
Yeah. This is what I struggle with. Is like, I think I'm on your side.
Because that 6-year-old's a cunt.
I mean, that's that's really that 6-year-old's fault. Actually, if we're 6-year-olds, Supreme Court says you cannot be a cunt. I agree with you the point you're making of like why do we have certain words that feel bad to us and we should be able to say words, and like we're just giving them so much power by what are we talking about fashion or games?
Right.
Okay, never mind.
I mean
words are
this is what happens when you don't care about the topic. I'm like okay fashion, let's see what's going on in the news. I'm talking about fashion but not at all. I just want to talk about the Supreme Court not saying the word fucked.
Yeah, that I mean also as a podcast that likes funny things that's hilarious. I'm trying to not say the word fucked.
The profane past participle form of a well-known word of profanity.
That quote alone is worth it. It's worth all of what we've done. I don't know if I want to talk about... Do you have more?
Yep. I'm going to make up... No, not about that. We can move on to another topic. And okay. Then, do you have one for Patreon?
Yes.
Great. Which, if you were on our Patreon, you would get to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to try to make some points back then. Like, okay. if I just by not caring about fashion have totally fucking ruined some fashion person's
or
day.
Or your expectation of what this episode was going to be.
Project Runway, which I have heard of, sure. And I've even seen, I said the name.
Uh-huh.
That's got to be some points right there, right?
Deaf fashion points. Yep. I watched like the first five or something seasons of it, so like... I really enjoyed the show, even though I don't care about fashion.
So Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn, who he gay, they're no longer on the show.
Oh, really?
Yep. They now have model Carly Kloss and previous winner Christian Siriano.
That's one of the most popular famous
Project Runway
winners. Yeah.
But yeah, so Mimi Tao. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mimi Tao is Project Runway's very first trans model.
Oh.
The show premiered last month.
I heard about this and yeah.
But yeah. So, first of all, Project Runway, with the stereotype of like the queers love fashion and super involved in fashion, and there's been like so many gay people on Project Runway, right? Yeah. Not like Tim Gunn.
Yeah. When I was reading my stats about like the fashion industry, it was like it compared like Project Runway, like 9 out of 10 men were gay. Like that's a stat they like included, which is interesting.
But this is season 17. They went 17 seasons without having a trans model.
Yeah.
On.
This is okay. Going back to our previous conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this is a good example where I myself asked, yes, this is Project Runway, so it's gay. So like I'm on board. They're coming from a gay perspective. This is Bravo, like gay everywhere. When they included a trans model, I'm like, are they just doing this for the attention? Are they coming from a genuine place? Like those questions of gay baiting, you know, you were talking about straight, like it's all about like straight people. Like, are you just doing this to gay bait? I guess this is trans baiting. Maybe that's a new thing. It's not jerking off to trans porn. No. Trans baiting is, but like this to me was like, you know, Project Runway, the marketing side of me is like, they've been on the air this long. They're apparently, I didn't know this, don't have the two major people that were on it.
Yeah.
Are they just trying to get attention by putting you throw a trans person in something and try to get publicity for it?
Or like maybe mitigate the dip in ratings that they're going to get by losing their two big people?
Yeah.
Like when Mary Berry left the Great British Bake Off, I was like, nope, never watching it again because I heart her and I want her to be my best friend.
Yep, but then you saw Fiona?
Prue.
She looks like a Fiona. Anyway, you saw Prue and then you were like, after episode one, you were like, that's fine. I more miss the non-lesbian lesbians.
One of them is a lesbian.
Oh, good for her. The 50% lesbian couple.
Yeah.
They should be called the 50%s. Anyway, you know, fucking Johnetta and Lucy. What were their names?
I don't remember their names.
It doesn't matter. But
they replaced them also.
They were, and the new people. Give me a break. That's my analysis of this. Give me a break.
Give me a break.
Mind the break.
Should we take a break?
Wait, I just interrupted you in the middle of a segment. I don't think so. I think you can finish this and then we'll take a break.
Okay.
Oh, right? Or are you just done? You just wanted to point out they have a trans model?
They have a trans model and like they lose their two big stars that were the hosts and then there's going to be a dip. They're gonna have to rebuild their viewership, so let's put a trans model on.
Did
there
you
to
think
try to like
this was a little bit of baiting to try to get people to
could have been I didn't think about it until you said so, but like it absolutely could be
and like okay not I feel like I now I'm keep going keep interrupting you to go back to our like gay baiting and queer baiting and like but is that bad? They're trying to get viewers by putting a trans model in it. Like, if it makes news and people start watching because there's a trans model in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that maybe like gay baiting or trans baiting? That's not a phrase that people use ever. Why do I feel weird?
Trans baiting?
Yeah. I feel weird about saying that phrase. Anyway, like queer baiting, we'll just call it that. Like maybe that's not always a bad thing. Maybe I feel like it's always used in negative
yeah.
context.
I mean,
maybe
I,
it's not bad.
I think,
necessarily.
I think it's about intention.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
It's like people who go to a big party and they're going to network. And they're just like handing out their card left and right and being really aggressive with people instead of networking the way that actually works, mm-hmm. which is to go and just meet people and introduce yourself and try to make a genuine human connection.
Yeah.
Like, I think that maybe this is just, hey, let's put a trans person on because we want to raise trans visibility. And there's a great conversation to have about the lack of trans visibility, especially within the modeling community. Mm-hmm. We can... we're being good allies that way. Maybe we'll even sort of show our dirty laundry that it's taken 17 years for us to get to the point where we had a trans model on, and that's good for and then on top of that, maybe that also helps our ratings.
Yeah.
That could just as easily have been what happened as, oh, we lost our two people. We have to do something big and splashy so that we can not lose our ratings as much. Hey, go find a trans person.
Yeah.
We're going to use them.
Yep, exactly. I totally agree. It's so hard to find that intention. And that's what I feel like. That's why there's even a debate at all, is because you can't really know that intention. And that's why gay people that's why you're focusing on, or and people in general focus on the straight people. It's because it's like, there's more of a question of like, do you really mean it versus gay people? You tend to mean it. Even if you're doing something that is seemingly gay baiting, it's like, well, it's probably coming from a place of good intention.
And back to fucking Chick-fil-A. We know their intention. They have stated it.
They give
us your money for our stupid bigot sandwiches, and we're going to give some of that money to organizations that are going out to harm gay people and their rights.
Yeah.
That we know why they're doing what they're doing, and it's fucking evil.
Yeah.
So don't help them.
Yeah. I feel like we need to talk about more fashion things. Mike, what's the most fashionable thing what's the current fashion trend you care most about right now?
Pass.
Passing?
Pass. No.
Do we need to talk about fashion more?
Are you ready for this?
Okay,
you're
ready?
Not ready for this.
Nope.
Okay. Fucking tan on goddamn Queer Eye needs to knock it off with the French tuck. That's horseshit, and I hate it, and I fucking hate it.
Wow.
And he needs to stop it and stop trying to make it happen. It's not going to be a thing. We're not going to have... Fetch is not going to be a thing.
Wow. Okay. You are making a bold... I'm nervous.
Yeah.
That you're making... Of all the things that you've said on this podcast, you going against the French tuck?
Yeah.
Whom are you... Why? No, tell me why.
I have eyes and I can see that it looks ridiculous and I hate it.
You don't like the French tuck?
No.
What's the French? The French tuck is when you just tuck in the front part
of the shirt.
And you let it hang out on the left and the right.
But
I feel like was cool. Last time I remember this was cool, I was like in junior high. Like it was
it wasn't cool then either, just so you know.
I looked good. It puts your dick really in.
Well, okay, so part of it is like, here's my vag.
Yeah,
like,
yep, everybody like, look. Packages going on here.
It looks sloppy and it looks stupid, and he does it to every single person. Mm-hmm. Every single person.
That and the like flipping up the on your sleeves.
Yeah.
You like flip up the top. It's like nowadays it's like before you leave, you got to flip up the edge of your sleeves and tuck the front of your.
That's one piece of fashion that I am not happy about.
I almost talked about Queer Eye, but I didn't. But this takes away from the actual fashion aspect, which is what I was trying to do and get into the idea of a bunch of gay men going around and fixing your life, including your fashion. I mean, less emphasis on the fashion this time around, but before that was like a lot about your looks, and now it's, you know, Karambo is...
There's no B in his name.
I know,
and
can't.
When you say it, it sounds so racist.
Does it? But I mess up everyone's name.
I know.
It would be racist to get his name right. I would like to argue.
All right. Okay. Great.
Black people named Karambo, let me know what you think.
God, it just sounds so terrible. Okay, go ahead.
I just don't like the idea of in general, I know this is a positive thing for the gay community to have this show, gay people helping, making connections with genuine people, and like, I just think five gay people going around being like, hey, we're gay and we're going to fix you. Like, when I watch that, I cry. Sure.
Mm. Almost every episode.
Almost every episode. Yeah. But like, also part of me goes back to this like stereotype of fashion. Like, I feel worse about myself for how I look in my fashion and how my apartment is. And like, I am not this ideal version of gay.
Yeah.
That says I am so good that I can go around and fix you all.
Yeah.
Like, nor is that my role as a gay person.
Right.
And like, I can't.
Which is funny because of how many people write in saying that we help them.
Stop being helped by me. Stop it. I didn't want that. No, but like, what's different, I think, is they go around with this idea of perfection. Like, yeah. Throw out all of your shitty clothes and only have good clothes. Like, only, you know, oh, you're making shitty food. Let me, keep making shitty food because Angela needs to do shit. But like, you know, it's the idea of like the bringing perfection, like gay people come around saying, hey, be perfect. Like, and this, I think that we need to show gay people are not perfect and they're flawed and they're fucked up. And that's what I want. Like, I feel like actually part of how we help people says, you can be gay and be all kinds of fucked up. And in fact,
you've convinced me, Tan, keep the French tuck because it shows people that we can be fucked up.
It really reflects this error of judgment that even gay people are susceptible to. What you said actually that spoke to me is like the fact that he does it to every person means this is his personal choice that he doesn't know how to, like, not every person can do a French tuck or should or looks good on, or like, if you think literally every person should do that, then you're not good at fashion because not every person has to have the same trend or whatever.
I think it was the first episode of season 3 that's out now. Tan said something.
They're into 3?
What?
They're into 3?
Yeah.
I thought they just did 2. Wow. Well,
season 3 dropped like a week ago. That's why I'm like reinvigorated and angry.
Oh.
And like, it was in the first episode, I think, that Tan did this like, I'm going to make the French tuck happen. Like, I'm going to make fetch happen.
Oh, he actually said that?
He didn't say the word fetch, but he actually said like
I'm going to make it happen.
He did a thing with his finger where he was like, I'm going to, like, it's a thing. And so he wants to die on that hill.
Yeah.
And I want to choke him. That's all.
Well, okay. Don't. That could be a compliment to some people.
I'm also sad because like, I would love to meet them one day and like, I don't want him to think that I hate him. I just hate the French tuck and I hate that he's trying to make it a thing.
I think
he's lovely and I like his clothes choices for many people.
Well, also you can tell like him as a person is very genuine and heartfelt. He cares about the people he's working with. He cares about the other queer-eyed dudes. Like, so yeah, we're allowed to criticize things that gay people do and it's not an attack on their person unless you're Antony.
Yep. And even I'm on team Antony.
No, so. I know. I've been as now that I joke, like the more I've been thinking about it, about Antony specifically, mm-hmm. the more I'm like, my anger at him is like directing all my anger at hot people because I don't think I'm hot. So like it's my insecurities that I'm then projecting onto other people.
Yeah.
The more I've thought about it, the more it's that. And sure, we can talk about like whether he can make good food or whether, you know, or the fact that he always takes out part of this. I was like, when I was researching for fashion, it was like, Antony strips to his underwear for this ad. And I'm like, he strips to his underwear for Tuesday. Like, let's not, like, that's not a newsworthy. Let's not go out and promote that. That's a really interesting thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I do think that objectively, he seems like he cares. He cares about his friends. He's trying to help these people. He listens to them. And he's also, maybe he got his job because he's super hot. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he's really good at it. Maybe, I don't know why, but like, I'm a lot of my anger towards him is my anger at hot people.
Because
I don't feel like I have that. So it's a lot about me and less about them.
For sure. No, I get it.
Fashion.
Back to Tan and fashion, I think it's interesting. He takes them to different places. Like, he really does a good job of trying to understand a person's fashion needs and what their style should be, and he pushes that envelope. But it's not like you always see him at Nordstrom, right? Like they go... he took one guy to... not Bonobos. What's the... starts with a B.
Barney's.
Nope.
Bottery Barn.
Never mind. Okay. Let's we can cut that part, I guess. But like, I just noticed that he like even takes people to different stores, right? And
so he does, like, part of him does adjust for the fashion and the appearance of people, but it's just the French tuck that he's clinging to.
God damn it! I fucking hate it.
I love that. I love it. I just love your anger at it.
Great.
It's so good.
Now do you want to take a
break? Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Break!
I broke it.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Okay, are we back?
We're back! We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
But first, Kyle, I'm sorry you made yourself cry.
Is that but first, sorry you cried. But if, I don't, you know, hey, check out Patreon if you want to get real sad in a, I was going to say in a good way, in a weird way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. As we just recorded our Patreon thing and I just feel real weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was like,
It's like a slot machine. They never know what they're going to get.
Am I like a slot machine?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because you can put it in me anytime?
Yep.
Okay, great.
And pull the handle.
pull me. No, it was really... I talked about Kate Spade, which has been a new story I've been avoiding, and then just started... She's related to fashion.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that too much, because then I'll start crying again. I didn't
great.
Cry. Anyway, find us. Where, Mike?
Yeah, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
What do I do? all of our social media is at Gayish Podcast. It's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and
Instagram
and Tumblr
and Twitter.
No, we don't. Tumblr. Tumblr was canceled.
Our hotline. You can send us text messages and leave us voicemails. It's 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Best closing ever. Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Should we do our gayest and straightest?
Let's do our gayest and straightest.
Okay.
Mine, which I had locked in. I don't often have them locked in this early, but I knew what it was. Okay. My gayest thing is we can talk about this, right? We organized a first read through of Shakespeare, the new podcast that we're working on, that you wrote.
I had a table read for the season one. Mm-hmm.
For Romeo and Julian.
Mm-hmm.
Julian's a boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's different than a girl. really awesome. I'm really excited about it. But I was planning it, and so I had all these, like, it's just like when planning an event, I feel like I'm good at that, because okay, I want people to, this is a long, it's work that like we want them to do. So let's give them alcohol, but we don't want them to get too drunk. So let's bring food. Yep. Okay. I want to have music when they come in. Like, I just had really specific ideas about this, you know, pretty small event, quote unquote event that I was doing. And so the, in that entire process, I was like, I could be an event planner, and that is pretty gay.
We need to get you a clipboard.
Oh, like, my God. I would dominate with a clipboard. I don't know. Or do gays right now, like, I feel like event planner gays probably have an iPad.
Okay. Sure.
It doesn't have to be. I have an iPad and it's not charged, and it doesn't have to be turned on, but I just want to hold the iPad and press it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And like, and then like, if someone asks me for something, I want to press on the iPad and then say, we just can't make that work.
I think iPad as a fashion accessory is perfectly acceptable in this context.
I love it. And then it would come with like a cute little case that I put it in and drape it over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. The straightest thing is that afterwards we had a lot of extra beer and I bought pretzels. Did you know? I don't know, Mike, if you knew this thing.
Pretzels and beer together is great.
They're so good. You eat one, you have some of the other, and they just, it's good.
It's good.
Did you know it's, it just, I was like eating and I was like, I like, this is good.
Who are you and what have you done with Kyle?
I don't know. It was very confusing. I might like pretzels and beer together.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
We'll have a whole episode about that maybe.
Our next episode called Pretzels and Beer, sponsored by
Rolled Gold.
I was going to say whatever that pretzel people are, and you knew it. Wow. Have they been paying you on the side this whole time?
Yeah, but only you're not supposed to know that.
Okay, but only in pretzels.
Because I'm gonna go solo.
Go solo? Mike Soloker, sponsored by...
Pretzels.
Pretzels. Okay. What about you?
So the straightest thing about me, I think, is this hat. Do you think this hat is straight?
No.
Really? It comes off... Is it gay? Or is it sexuality neutral, stereotype-wise?
I think... It's because it's so different from anything you've worn.
I never wear hats. This is the only hat I have ever owned.
I think that's like what I'm still adjusting to.
Okay.
Maybe it's gay because it's something about your appearance that you might be like working at.
Oh. I just think it's I think it's straight because it's like what old dudes in Ireland wear. Mm-hmm. Like you see these.
Oh, 100%. Like you look like you're British or someone that thought they're British or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll post it to Instagram. You guys can weigh in.
Yeah.
But I'm calling it my straightest.
Okay.
And you can argue with me.
Sure.
And then the gayest thing about me this week. So on Saturday night. Is that right? Yeah. Saturday night, I was supposed to meet some friends out at a bar. And I did the, like, okay, I'll see you guys at, like, just a little after 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I said that I implied that it's because I needed to get ready. I was already ready and I headed to a hookup. I think that like I think being late because you were boning is kind of a gay thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not the fact that I was having gay sex. It was just the fact that like
I need to go in this hookup. And it's not even like a hookup with like when like you're in a relationship and like the two of you ended up fucking before dinner. Like
yeah.
That's even different than like I had to go hook up with a dude.
Yeah, I'm late. Sorry I'm late, guys. I was fucking...
Grindr was blowing up. Or whatever. How was it?
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
You twisted my thumb.
I think I told you some of this.
You
like,
told me
I
that
had
was kind of weird. I don't know why.
I had a really, really hard time focusing... And for me, that makes it impossible. Like, my ADD really is a fucker when it comes to my sex and sex drive. And he had Seinfeld on his TV, like, in the background. And I was too... So I don't know why I didn't just ask him to turn it off. But, like, we're trying to get freaky. And I'm listening to Elaine talk to George about... George? Costanza. Yeah. About God knows fucking what, because it's Seinfeld.
When should they get the, like... How much should they tip on a salad that... they didn't like or something.
Yes, exactly.
There are more sexual sitcoms that could be playing in the background.
I don't... Okay.
Seinfeld, one of the least sexy of the 30-minute sitcom.
I couldn't bone to Frasier.
No.
I couldn't bone to, like, Cheers. I couldn't bone to... Maybe, like...
But the hilarity of boning to Cheers and then, like... as you're leaving, like, patting him on the ass and saying thanks for being a friend. Like, that would be hilarious. It might be worth it.
I think
just
that's
for
the Golden
that.
Girls you're thinking of, but...
Shit! Where everybody knows your name?
Yep.
You're like, say hey. My name! Know my name, bitch! It's Cheers! Know my name! I don't know.
Or just call him Norm. Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's it. So, a special... Oh.
Special thank you to Michael Johnson for writing our theme music and loving to promote himself.
Yeah.
No, it's just natural now to say the things we're used to saying. Thank you to all the straight men that have just been dealing with this really difficult oppression being in the fashion world. We couldn't relate to what it's like being straight in a world full of gay people.
Yep. Yep. Thank you to the San Jose people for coming up with the idea to have the gayest Chick-fil-A in the country.
For just gaying it up. If you don't like what you got, make it gay. Yeah.
And thank you to Nick Jonas, because...
Just...
Thank you.
Gay baiting or not, we're all baiting to you, Nick.
Yep. Sell me your shirt.
Give
don't wash it. Okay. Yeah,
that's it.
This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you.